What's the point of all this? There's something about the cross. There's something about that cross. It doesn't matter whether you are a Jewish person. It doesn't matter if you are a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a slave deserving of your death penalty. There's something about the cross that draws us to Christ. Folks, just know one thing. We do all this over here, lights and videos and all this other stuff we do. Please listen. We're not doing this because the cross needs help. The cross is fine without any of this. We do all this because He deserves our best.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Humility by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. And this morning, I'm going to actually read this passage from Philippi. Philippi is the place where Paul sent this letter. And to give you a little background, I'll be standing on the old pulpit of this ancient basilica at the site of ancient Philippi. More than likely, not know for sure, this letter was read for the very first time from this spot. So let's all stand together, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, and let's turn our attention to the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. More than likely, the people in this church heard these words from Paul. And that's where we are in Philippi, Greece. So, Jesus came to serve by exchanging our burdens for His, but there is much more that He came to do. Go back to verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. Now listen to this. Even the death of the cross. What is the death of the cross? Why is it so important that it was not just a death by beheading, or a death by burning, or a death by hanging? It had to be a death of the cross. Why is that important? Now pay attention. Because the death of the cross was the slave's ultimate punishment. The ultimate punishment. It is known as a servile supplicium, means the slave's ultimate punishment. When we think about the cross, we have a very poor understanding of what the cross really means. In fact, last night after our message, Saturday evening, a lady walked out and said, I never thought that's what it meant. I thought just a few people were crucified. I didn't know what the cross or the crucifixion was all about. This morning, for the first few moments, we're going to try to understand what the cross truly meant. Several things. The first thing is, the cross or the crucifixion was widespread in the ancient world. Widespread. Sometimes we think only the Romans practiced crucifixion. Not true. And if you grew up in church and Sunday school, and you probably heard me say this too, that it's probably the Persians who invented crucifixion, and that may be true, but I believe we have hints in ancient sources that lots of people practiced crucifixion. For example, in ancient culture like my own, Indians had crucifixion. Not the Indians in North America, the Indians on the other side of the planet. The Assyrians, what we call today's modern-day Turkey, that part of the world, they had crucifixion. The Scythians. Who are the Scythians? If you look at the map of Europe and look at places like Ukraine, southern Russia, Kazakhstan, this part of Central Asia, these people had crucifixion. Who else had crucifixion? The Greeks. I mean, we know about the Greeks being, you know, philosophers, and they cared about human dignity and democracy and freedom. Guess what? They practiced crucifixion. Alexander the Great, at one time, he had as many as 2,000 people crucified because they dared to rebel against him. So the Greeks had no problem crucifying people. The Carthaginians, northern Africa, which is modern-day Tunisia, that part of the world, they practiced crucifixion. Ancient Phoenicians practiced crucifixion. And more than likely, historians tell us that the Romans learned about crucifixion probably from these Carthaginians. And by the way, it's not just men who were crucified. Men and women who were women were also crucified. Probably more men than women. What else do we know about crucifixion? Not only was it widespread, but typically among the Romans, it was meted out to the lowest part of society, especially the slaves. Romans did not crucify their own citizens. I mean, that's just, now, beheading, yeah, you could be beheaded, but not crucified. Crucifixion was just so heinous, so gruesome. So typically, this punishment of crucifixion was reserved for the lower parts of society, slaves, rebels, even in some parts of the world, free people, but not Romans, could be crucified, but especially slaves. Slaves. And what could a slave get crucified for? Well, let's say you have slaves and you are the master, but you cannot control your slaves. And this has happened again and again, and they're doing things wrong. Guess what a Roman government may do? They will step in and say, we got to crucify him or her. So if you are unable to keep your slaves in check, that slave could be crucified by the Romans. Who else? Well, slaves were not allowed to carry weapons. So if a slave was caught with weapons, he could be or she could be crucified. And many times there were mass crucifixions. If you remember last weekend, we talked about how Spartacus and how many slaves were crucified. The general, Roman general Crassus, crucified 6,000 slaves all across, on that Appian Way leading to Rome on either side. You can just imagine this line of crucified slaves as you enter into Rome. 6,000. But slaves were the primary candidates to be crucified under the Romans. Something else, how about crucifixion, is that it was very effective. Very effective. For several reasons, it was effective because, well, it satisfied the human thirst for revenge. It was the human thirst, and one ancient writer called it resentful rage. I mean, you're so mad for what he did. And maybe he even hurt one of your family members as he left, or maybe he stole all your money, so you pour all your anger on that person. And then you watch him writhe in pain, and you said, that's right, you deserve that. I mean, that's the human thirst for revenge. So it satisfied that, so it was very effective. What else? Well, it definitely put an end to that life, so that slave or that person or that rebel could not do it again because he is now going to die. So in that other sense, it was also effective because it ended that person. But a third reason, which I believe is the major reason why it was very effective, is because, as I mentioned to you, slaves were not crucified in someone's backyard. They were crucified out in the open. Typically on a crossroads. How was Jesus crucified? He was crucified on a hill. And the hill was called Golgotha, which is skull in Hebrew, and in Aramaic or and in Latin we call it Calvary, which is pretty much the same thing. It is skull. Means why was it skull? Not because the hill looked like a skull. Because probably there were a lot of skulls there. A lot of crucifixions took place. And Hebrews tells us that this crucifixion probably, or not probably, really took place outside the gates of the city, by the road, so people who were walking by, they could see Jesus on the cross, and many of them were wagging their heads and saying, there you are, look at you. You said you're going to destroy the temple and raise it up on the third day. Why don't you save yourself and come down from the cross? So while you're hanging on the cross, people were taunting you. And did the slaves get a funeral? Did the people who were crucified, did they get a burial? Of course not. The victims were never buried. The scavengers would typically come and eat the corpses, and the corpse would rot. I mean, that's the end. So day after day, you're walking past the crosses, which are widespread all over, not just in Jerusalem, but in Rome, Alexandria, all over the parts of the world. At the time, you could see these crosses and criminals, especially slaves, dying the worst form of death, humiliation, and dishonor. But something else. How did the Romans see crucifixion? It was shameful. Very shameful. For you to die on the cross, worst way to die. It is. Did you know that when I was studying for this message, hardly any ancient writer describes how crucifixion actually took place? They didn't talk about it. They don't. It's a subject that was just, people were crucified, end of story. Did you know the Bible, the Gospels are the only account of details about nailing to the cross and hanging on the cross and asking for water? I mean, that's really coming straight from the Gospels. Other writers talk about the cross, but it's only simply 100 were crucified, 30 were crucified, 6,000 were crucified. They did not like to talk about it because it was so shameful. The people in Philippi to whom Paul is writing this letter, when he says he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, immediately the emotions clicked on. It was a shameful, horrible, heinous death. How did the Jewish people see the cross? Well, to them, it was not just shameful, but it was accursed. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Starting in verse 22. Listen to what the Bible says. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, God is speaking these words, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. By the way, hanging someone on a tree, when the Bible says that, it's really crucifixion. Because there is much evidence that hanging someone on a tree was not after they died or hanging them, you know, in a noose. It was really nailing them to the tree and then watching them die. Listen to verse 23. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall bury him that day so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And listen to this. For he who is hanged is accursed by God. That word accursed is not curse. Curse is like God is cursing you. You're cursed now. Accursed means God hates it. It is detestable. Romans saw the cross as shameful. The Jewish people saw the cross as person who is cursed and hated by God. Any wonder when Paul is writing to the Corinthians, what does he say? We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, what is it? Greeks, what it is? Foolishness. So if I were to go to a Greek or a Roman person and say, hey, the Savior of the world has come. Oh, really? Tell us more about him. Well, he came, he did miracles, and then the people took him and crucified him. What? Yeah, crucified him. Oh, I'm not interested. You know, crucified him for your sins. I know what you said, but not interested, because that's, we don't like to talk about that. If you went to a Jewish person and said, hey, the Messiah has come as prophesied in the Old Testament, and he came and he served the people and he fulfilled prophecy, and then he was crucified. 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 You know what crucified means? It means that even God hated that person. Well, you got to receive him as your Savior. No. Not interested. Not interested. You see, when you would tell people, receive Jesus as your Savior, he died on a cross for your sins, that was the end of discussion. Not interested. That's shameful. Let's not talk about that. Why did Jesus choose this horrible slave's death? Because it was God's plan of redemption, something that God had prophesied and promised in the book of Isaiah 700 years ago. I want us to read those words starting in verse 3 of chapter 53, Isaiah 53, verse 3. What does it say? He is despised and rejected by men. Despised. When you see someone on a cross, you don't say, oh, I love you. You know, you're just like, despised, hated, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And what do we do with him? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. No one says, oh, wow, there's people hanging on the cross. How great is that? No, you would turn your head. We hid it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. He was despised. He was accursed. But why did he do this? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was stricken because I was supposed to be stricken. Because that's how God sees my sin. He hates it. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Means the nails went into his hands, not for his sins, but for my sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. They flogged him before they took him to the cross. But every time they flogged him, you and I were getting healed. This is what saves you. This is what's going to transfer you into eternity. If this bothers you, then you are in line of the millions of people who walked away from the cross and said, let's not talk about that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Means we were busy wandering away from God. And God was busy coming after us. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. You know what some of the slaves would do as they were crucified, as their master would taunt them and say, that's right, that's what happens when you do this to me. What did Jesus do from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he never opened his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. So not just for one person or two people, for all he was being stricken. Means what he was going through, I was supposed to go through, because that's how God sees me and my sin. And then verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked. What does it say there? They made his grave with the wicked, but the rich at his death. Now, what did I tell you about how they treated the body of the person crucified? Did they give him an honorable burial? No, no. Family doesn't get the body. Because it's going to lose its effect. It's supposed to be effective, and if you take the body down, then it's an empty cross. How long did Jesus hang on the cross? For 6 hours. At the end of that, two men came. One was Joseph of Arimathea. And what does Joseph do with his body? He puts it in his own tomb that was never used. And by the way, he was a rich man. Nicodemus, also part of the Sanhedrin, who did not agree with the crucifixion, he did not agree with the kangaroo court and said, that is wrong what you're doing for this man. He does not deserve that death. Nicodemus came too. Remember, he came at night, but he came at his death with aloes and myrrh to anoint the body of Jesus. Two rich men showed up. Why? Because, go back to verse 9, what does the Bible says? And they made his grave with the wicked. Means they were getting him ready to give him a slave's end. But the rich at his death, why? Why didn't Jesus continue hanging on the cross until the scavenging birds and animals ate him up? Because even though he was slave, yet he was also the king of the world. He was hanging on the cross not for his own sins, but for your sins and mine. And he did not deserve to rot on that cross. He deserved a royal burial. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How about the two men who were hanging on either side of Jesus? There were two thieves. Remember that? One on the right, one on the left. And one was mocking Jesus. I mean, how depraved can you get? I mean, you're hanging over there, you're going to die. How much do you care about this man over here? But he's mocking him. And the guy on the other side of Jesus said, hey, stop it, man. Come on. We're here because we deserve this. This man did not do anything. And then he asked Jesus something. What did he ask him? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in the midst of his suffering, and not just physical suffering, the sin of the entire human race is poured upon Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. But who else was standing by the cross? Who else was standing by the cross? A Roman centurion who watched this whole thing happen and how Jesus died. And what does he say? Surely this man must be the Son of God. What's the point of all this? It's something about the cross. There's something about that cross. It doesn't matter whether you are a Jewish person. It doesn't matter if you are a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a slave deserving of your death penalty. There's something about the cross that draws us to Christ. Folks, just know one thing. We do all this over here, lights and videos and all this other stuff we do. Please listen. We're not doing this because the cross needs help. The cross is fine without any of this. We do all this because he deserves our best. Are y'all with me? So don't you walk away thinking, oh, they're trying to do all this stuff to kind of attract people. No. We do this because he gave his ultimate sacrifice. But the cross needs no help. It has an amazing power to draw people. Did you know this is the third message today? Last night, a person got saved. I prayed with him. Family been praying 20-some years. Right after the first service this morning, 9:30, a lady came to me with tears. Can you please pray with me so I can get saved? That doesn't need my help. It is the greatest magnet in the world. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. But you get a glimpse of what the cross is all about. It will change your life. Or you're going to walk away going, it's foolishness. It will change your life. What did Paul say? Again in Corinthians, Paul says, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, because I had already decided I will know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We began this message talking about humility. If you want to be humble, don't hold someone up as your example. Hold Christ on the cross as your standard. He died a slave's death that he didn't have to die, so that you and I could go free. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Before you go out and start saying who is arrogant and who is proud, you examine your heart and say, does it match up with that? We're so quick to say he is arrogant and he is full of himself and she is so, she thinks he's all that. Really? The standard is Christ on the cross. Where do you match up? If you're not forgiving someone in your life, that's pride. If you're resentful, that's pride. If it all is about you and everybody has to rotate and circle you, and it's about your needs and it's about your post and it's about you, that's pride, folks. He gave it all up so you and I could go free. And this morning, what needs to happen is for you to come and say, God, I lay it all down. At the foot of the cross, you cannot stand erect. You have to bow. You have to humble yourself. And for those of you who have never received Jesus as your Savior, one day, you're going to meet Him, but He's not going to be a slave dying a slave's ultimate death. He is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You will. Except you can be saved now. Getting saved happens here. If you've never done that, you come. You give your life to Christ. And ask Him to forgive you of your sins, because He has earned the right to forgive because He paid the price. It's time to leave your hang-ups behind and hold on to Christ. You say, but I grew up thinking this, or I heard this, and I don't know what someone you highly esteem in your life told you about Christianity, and the message like this is that's just what conservatives preach, and that's what just fundamentalists preach, or that's just what Baptists say. Folks, this is the gospel. If you don't believe this, you will die in your sins forever and ever and ever. And God is calling you. Leave all behind and come. Because that's the standard.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Christ humbled Himself and gave the ultimate sacrifice, dying on the cross for you and for me. The cross doesn't need our help, but understanding what Christ has sacrificed for us should inspire us to give our all in service of Him. Is your life honoring the cross of Christ? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.